I thank God for the Nichols. They have been a blessing to me. And I was thinking today, every major crisis in my life except one. And, you know, we all go through things. Every major thing that I've gone through, Pastor Bob has been there except one, and I didn't know him. He didn't know me at that time. And so, man, he's just been through me, with me all the way. We all go through stuff.
Amen.
You know, to you, whatever you go through is serious to you, right? Whatever I go through is serious to me, but we all go through stuff, all right?
Yeah.
Now, let's get this out of the way right quick, and then I can get into the Word of God. Somebody's going to get some help here tonight, and if I were you and I was sitting out there, you know what I would say? I would say, that's me. I'd say, that's me. All right. This guy went to the doctor. This guy went to the doctor. Rich, rich dude. A lot of money. And the doctor looked at him and told him, said, man, you have between 3 and 7 days to live, and you're going to die. He said, we can't do anything for you. So he goes by the bank. He gets all the money he can, a lot of cash, and he puts it in a suitcase, and he goes home, and he tells his wife, said, honey, I'm going to die. And said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Said, I've left you plenty of money. You don't have to be concerned about anything, but I left you plenty of money, and you can live, but I filled this suitcase up with a lot of money, and I'm going to put it up in the attic. And when I leave, I'm going to go by and pick it up as I leave. I've always heard that nobody can take it with you, so I'm going to pick it up. So sure enough, he dies. They have the funeral. And 2 or 3 days after the funeral, and things had been settled down, she remembered what he said about that suitcase. So she went up to the attic, and there was that suitcase full of money. And she said, John, I told you to put it in the basement. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
Now, just because I have a big Bible tonight doesn't mean I'm going to preach long. We're going to have some fun tonight. How many like to have fun at church?
Right.
How many like to receive from the hand of God at
Amen.
Church? You've come to receive. There's a real flow and anointing here tonight, and there's always at Calvary. Thank God there's always. Thank God for the men and women and so many precious people, and my friends are here tonight that I've met through Calvary. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. Come on. I want you to repeat that. I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will be taught to uncompromise Word of God. Man, y'all are very weak. My mind is alert. My spirit's open. As I gladly receive the exceeding. Say it with me. As I gladly receive the exceeding great and precious promises that changes me into His likeness and to His image. You know, no place in the Word of God does it give us the right to dominate or to control one another, but we submit to one another in the fear and the reverence of God. Turn with me to, please, Romans, the book of Romans. And we're going to cover a lot of territory tonight, and I'm just going to start on some things that you'll have to finish later on. Romans chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's verse 2. How many know there's a law of life in Christ Jesus? Laws are something that happens every time, the same time, no matter where you are. It's a law. If it's really a law, it's going to happen that same way all the time. And then jump down with me to verse 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the spiritual mind is against God, it's an enemy of God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, we get saved. We know the Lord, right? There's a warfare, and the warfare goes on in your mind. That's where it goes on. Okay. And the devil does everything he can to pull you out of the things of God. Now, I want you to remember, what I talk about tonight, there's only one way to receive it. Number one, to receive from God after you've repented and you're a born-again believer, you must, this is not a suggestion, but you must learn to walk in forgiveness. No matter what anybody does to you, No matter what they say about you, no matter how dirty they treat you, if they walk out on you, whatever it is, you have to learn to forgive. I do it very simply. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive that person. Now, sometimes my emotions and my feeling doesn't line up with that, but I keep saying it, and eventually it'll get there, right? So whatever I say from now on, remember, you're going to have to learn to walk in forgiveness. Another thing that God taught me last year, within the last year, is be grateful for what you do have. Be grateful for what you do have. We're taught in America through advertising, well, if you don't have this one, you don't have that one. Look, let me tell you something. It's nice to ride down the street with a $150,000 car, but I'm going to tell you, when I get in my car and go from here to San Antonio, a $150,000 car is not going to take me any quicker than my Lexus are going to take me down the highway.
All right, now.
If I follow the law, right?
Amen.
So I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. All right, let's talk about walking with God. We all have challenges. And I'll try to stay away from too much personal, but this winter I just physically got cold. I was cold all the time. And I know better than this. I know that God's a good God. But that's the reason I'm up here, because I come to see my man of God, spend a little time with him, give me a shot in the arm, help me get back on the road. And I began to get back on the road, but I went into a spirit of depression. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want anybody bothering me. You just leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You know, you go your way, I go my way. And I didn't get to the point where I wanted anybody to go to hell, but... Now, in walking with God, it's easy to get off course. It's easy because you have the world system, you have the flesh, and you have the devil. And be honest with you, the devil's really not such a big problem as our flesh and the world system. I mean, you don't have, through the blood of Jesus and the word of God, you have authority over the devil, don't you? So it's my flesh. Now, when you get off of God, if you correct that course real quick, it's not a major thing. But I don't know how to fly an airplane. There are people in the building that do know how to fly. But if my destiny was start back here, and my destiny, straight line from here to the podium, that's my destiny. I start. Now, if I get off a little bit, and I get right back on, that's no major. But if I get off that degree and I keep going, that same degree, the further I go, the further I get out of here. I get way out, okay? Now, I don't need to spend energy and time trying to go back where I got off. All I need to do is right here, let the Holy Spirit, the living God, the Word of God, readjust my course, and I'm still going to go this direction. But if I spend all my time trying to get back over here, I'm going to waste time, energy. So sometime tonight, somebody here may need to make an adjustment. And we're going to cover some things real quick, okay? Now, the best way I can describe is a coal mine. Does anybody know what this is? Can you see it good enough? It's a thermometer. This thermometer will work in any country of the world. It will work. It will work at night. It'll work at daytime. It'll work in English. It'll work in Spanish. It'll work in Russian. It'll work anywhere. And that's the way the coronal mind is. All this thermometer does is tell me the conditions of the circumstances around me. That's all it does. It doesn't change anything. Doesn't change it one iota. Now, I like to hunt, and I go hunting, and sometimes I don't take enough clothes. Boy, now, I mean, you get out there and you're freezing and everything, you're not clothed right. All this thermometer is going to do is tell me how cold it is.
Right.
It's not going to change anything. If you walk by the flesh, you walk in the carnal mind all your life, all you're going to do is be aware of the circumstances, but you're not going to change anything. It's not going to change one iota. Nothing's going to happen. And there are people that get saved, they're going to heaven, but they're always carnally minded. They never really dig into God and the things and the promises of God. The promises of God. God, the Word of God will work for anybody that will work it. Salvation is free, but it's going to cost you something to maintain it. You got to deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow Him. Things happen in life. And if you're not careful, you go back out of the spirit world, you go back to the thermometer. Oh, God, I'm down, I'm out, I'm broke, nobody loves me. Well, I know one thing. No matter what I've ever gone through, I know Pastor Bob Nichols and Joy Nichols love me. I know that.
That's right.
I know that.
That's right.
But I've got to slip from here to another piece of equipment that does almost the same thing. This will do the same thing. It'll tell you the temperature and the circumstances around. But we've got something a little bit different in this one. This came out of my house some time ago. I had to get a new air conditioner, so I got a new thermostat. And it's a thermostat. It has on and off, it has cold, it has heat, and it has just a fan that blows. And a lot of people, they just blowing, they're nothing. Right? That's all they're doing, blowing. Romans chapter 1. Now, when this thermostat is hooked up to the power source, it can change things.
Yes.
Have you got Romans chapter 1? Say amen. Amen. Verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word salvation means more than, it does include my initial coming to Jesus and accepting Him and forgiving Him of my sin. But how many know there's salvation? You need salvation over some things. And tonight, we're going to exercise. I'm not going to preach a long time, but we're going to take authority over some things, and we're going to put the power to the thermostat.
All right.
Now, when you put the power to the thermostat, you can make your house cold. You can make it hot. And woe be to the husband or wife. One's always cold or one's always hot. That's difficult. That's a joke. At least you laugh. I'll give you a clue. Without this power hooked up to this thermostat, it's not going to do anything but tell me the condition of the circumstances. If you live from circumstance to circumstance because of the circumstance, you're never going to walk in victory. Victory is to the person that will take the gospel, and salvation. Yes, I am saved. But how many know that God needs to save me out of some other things from time to time? There's other things that need to happen. Other things that God wants to happen. If I just walk by feeling, I listen to everybody. Listen, you live in a world that is full of darkness and it's negative. I almost have to quit listening to the news. Man, I tell you, that'll make you lower than a snake's belly. It's terrible. But you know what? The system is designed to fail. But we're not designed to fail. We're a light in a dark world. Now, you can change the circumstances of your life, whatever that may be, by hooking up to the power source. Turn the thermostat on. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it is by my spirit. Just think, God has given us the ability to have this word. This is the power source. is the power source. Now, once you find the scripture in the Word of God for whatever you need to change the conditions around you, you need to get two or three scriptures, and there'll always be two or three scriptures in Old Testament, New Testament. On anything you can think of, there's the Word of God. It doesn't happen just because you think so. You are going the same way you got saved, you're going to have to do it the same way. You're going to have to take the Word of God. You're going to have to open your mouth and say, this is what the Word says. You're going to have to open your mouth. Illustration that I've used for years and others used it. If you'll follow me and do what I ask you to do, okay, I'll show you something. I want everybody in the building, quietly to yourself, follow the instructions. Everybody say, follow the instructions. I want everybody in the building to start counting to yourself with one, two. Just keep a counting. Tell me your name, please. Quick, quick. Everybody tell me your name. We got to do better than that. Don't y'all have a name? What happened when you said your name? The thought life or counting was broken. That's what the Word of God does. You see, you have to put the Word of God in, because there are sometimes you don't have time to put the Word of God in. Sometimes you're crushed and problems come, and all of a sudden what's in comes out of an abundance. Sometimes you don't have time to, you know, when the doctor says you've got 3 months to live, you don't have time to, you know, God could be merciful to you and you can get your healing. But, you know, you need to be programming healing scriptures in before that ever happens. Now let's have some fun tonight. How many want to have some fun?
All right. Yes.
Okay, we're going to get you out here by 12 o'clock no matter what. How many of you have children that need to come in the kingdom of God or have known God and they're walking away from God? Raise your hand. Okay. I hope you brought a pencil and piece of paper. So we're going to put the power source to the thermometer, and we're going to change that. And once we change it, our thought life goes back, well, they're never going to come. No, you're going to cast that out. You're going to say, oh, Father God, I thank you. I agreed with that guy from San, whatever that guy's name is from San Antonio. I agreed with him, Father God, in the Word of God and all of my children. Now, turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 54. My mama raised 8 children on this scripture, and two are really good, and I'm one of the two. Just ask me, I'll tell you. You got Isaiah 54:13. All of thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Oh, yeah. Now, I don't have time to develop everything I want to cover tonight. So you're going to have to take time, get you some of the scripture, get you two or three scriptures about your children. Okay? Now, what have we done? We're putting a power source to a circumstance that looks hopeless. My God, you don't know, Pastor. You don't know what they're in. They're in this. They're doing that. That don't make any difference. Look at Brother Charlie. God reached one day, and he put his hand over that stern wheel, delivered him of alcohol, delivered him of drugs, and now he is a pillar in this church. He's important to the kingdom of God. And I will tell you one thing. He's important to the Nichols, and he's important to his wife, and he's important to me. I would think, you know, you'd say he's important to me too, but. Now, I have a lot of fun. So, we have put the power source to what? Our children. God never intended for you to raise any child to go to hell. And you have a certain spiritual authority over your children. My dad told me, you put your feet under my table, you eat my food, you sleep in my bed, you obey the rules. And the rule was, you're at home at 11 o'clock at night. He didn't mean 3 minutes after 11 o'clock. He taught me 11 o'clock. If I was on the other side of town and I wanted extra time, I don't call him 5 minutes 11 and say, hey, Dad, can I stay? If he said no, I still better be there at 11 o'clock. Are you listening to me? You take that word. Now, the battleground is going to go in your mind. And once you apply the Word of God, the conditions, this thermometer may go up real red. I mean, it may get worse than it's ever done. I'm not moved by that. How can you be moved by that? See, the fact is tonight that some of you need a healing. That's a fact. But let's find out what the truth says. This is the fact. I'm sick. I'm going to die. Wait a minute. Hold. That's not the truth. That's a fact. Facts are subject to change with truth. You can change it. How do I change it? Isaiah 53. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, maybe we're healed. Well, no, sometimes God does and sometimes God doesn't. No. The same day that Jesus paid for your salvation, your redemption, he paid for your healing. The problem is that most people operate in here. This is what they operate in. They operate what the doctor says. Don't be so foolish. The doctor says, you know, you got this and you can't make it. And you go, oh, I don't believe you, doctor. I don't believe what you're thinking. He's based on this kind of knowledge. He's based on years of experience and everything. But not everybody he's ever practiced on knows how to turn the power of God on and change it from here into the thermostat. Am I communicating with you tonight?
Oh, yeah.
You can change things. God never changes. Every perfect and good gift comes from God. So, I get me some scriptures. One of my favorite scriptures, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. All sickness and all oppression is from the devil. Get it out of your mind that God's putting sickness on you to teach you something. The teacher, the New Testament church, is not sickness, disease, and poverty. It's the Holy Ghost. Spirit of God inside of you. And you're sitting in a church service, and all of a sudden the preacher's preaching, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God hits you, and you thought, oh, God, yeah, I got to straighten that out. Preacher didn't say anything about it, just Spirit of God. All day you're reading the Scripture, one day in the Spirit of God, it jumps out at the pages at you, and it becomes life to you, and you realize, hey, man, I got to get this straight. That's how the Holy Ghost teaches you. Now, let me just slow down a little bit. The day you and I live in, you're going to have to learn how to be sensitive in your personal life to the Holy Ghost. We're creatures of habit. We get up and go to work the same way. We come home the same way. And one day the Spirit of God may speak to you and say, don't go that way today. Oh, that's just me. Learn how. Learn how to be sensitive to God. It may save your life. And if you get in an accident, it may save you 4 or 5 hours just sitting there doing nothing. You can't get out. Learn to be sensitive. Learn when the Spirit of God says, I want you to pray now. I'm going to tell you how to have a perfect memory. Sure, far away. How many want some help with your memory? I'm going to tell you how to have a memory. Get your pad, piece of paper, kneel down, and start to pray. That's all you got to do is, Father God, I come in the name of you. Oh, yeah, man, God, I got to go take that meat out of the freezer. If I don't, I won't have supper time. Oh, I forgot to write that bill. Just take that piece of paper and write down what you forgot. When you get through praying, you can do it. It never fails. Why? The devil doesn't want you to pray. The prayers of a righteous person availeth very much. You have access into the throne of grace. You have access into His presence. It's by His grace and His grace alone that we come. It's not by works of righteousness which I've done, but I'm invited to come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yes. Good word.
Now, there's some people, and if I stayed here long enough and I really got to know you, really got to know you, there's some people invite me to their house. If I got hungry, now some of you folks would never, I would never do that because you're just not that kind. I'd just go to the refrigerator and get it. I got that kind of personality. I'm not a smart aleck. I like to be just make myself at home. And if I wanted something to drink, I say, hey, y'all got anything to drink? You know, got any good iced tea or lemonade? Kool-Aid? Since Jones happened, I don't drink too much Kool-Aid. Can we take a little bit more?
Amen.
let's talk about giving. Boy, when you talk about money, did you know that Jesus talked about money more than any other subject? You know, when we come to church, we can't talk about money. I mean, you know, that's all the preacher wants, my money. Keep it. God's going to get by without you. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to miss the blessings of God. No, that's right. Let's talk about money, okay? People in the world talk about it. Some of you want to get out here tonight at a certain time because you're going to go home, maybe grab a snack, maybe not grab a snack, but you're going to go to bed. Clock's going to ring in the morning, 5:30, 6:30, 7 o'clock, and you're going to get up, do whatever you do. You're going to get in your car, and you're going to go to work. What are you talking about? You're not going to work just because you like work. You're talking about money. Right? You're talking about money. Am I right?
Amen.
Okay, let's talk about money. Now remember, the basis of all of this, I have to continually walk in forgiveness. You can't go through life without somebody messing on you. And the best place that happens is in the church. People carrying their holy Bible. This is my holy Bible. Just because people come to church don't mean they're right with God, they're going to be right with you. That's why you need the Spirit of God to have a spirit of discernment. And I tell you one thing, when God made a woman, He put a spirit of discernment in a woman, and a woman can tell you, most women can tell you, there's something wrong, I don't know what it is, but you better be careful. Well, you better pay attention. Am I right? You ladies had a good chance to really say amen. All right, how do I get past this? Because anybody, I was educated in Harlandale, in San Antonio, Texas, on the south side of the city, and I didn't get most of it, okay? When I got to high school, it was just a lot of fun. It wasn't learning. It was fun. So most people take this out with their money. This is what they operate on. Controlled by the circumstances of what's going on with the finances. Right? I mean, most people do that. You want me to come to church, give my heart to Jesus, and then you're telling me that the Word of God teaches that I need to bring 10% of whatever comes into my life and give it to Him. Well, you don't really give it. He already owns it. Don't you understand? If you keep operating here, you don't understand the principles that God takes the 90% that's left and makes it go further than if you had 110%. You walk into a store and you don't know what happened, but hey, I'm just fixing to mark that item down, 20% off right now. If you'd have been here yesterday, you wouldn't have got that sale price, but I'm marking it down. You want to buy something? I gave, we rented a building, we had to remodel it, and we wanted television sets up there so we could put the songs up there. And I bought this pretty nice television. Never did get it out of the box. Church needed it, so I gave it to church. That's good, right? I mean, if I tell you to give, I got to give too. Okay? So, Christmas, past Christmas. I'm not a great fan, not a great shopper. You may or may not be. But Walmart had a sale on. A 50-inch television for $100. Wow. Had to stand in line a little bit, but I got me a television back. Now, how does this work? See, the principle, carnally minded, you got to get out of the carnal, find out what God says. Obey the Word of God. The Word of God always works. Yes. It might not work in your time frame, but it will work. Yes. It will work. And so what you got to do is put the power of God to the source. And now you turn it up. Now, you're not going to make it, right? But, you know, I'll tell you, everything's going down the drain. Bless God, I don't know if we're going to make our house pay. Are you a giver? Then you got to write, Father God, I thank you. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm sure, God, you're going to come and buy it honestly, however you get it. And I tell you, you're going to give it to me, and I thank you, Father, that all my needs are met. Of course, cast all your cares on him. Go in there. Go to bed. Go to sleep. Your worry is not going to change anything.
Amen. So true.
All it does will probably hinder God from doing what he wants to do. Now, let me tell you something else about finding. God doesn't always supply the same way over and over and over. And you know why he doesn't do that? Because he don't want you to be dependent on that person. And there's nothing wrong with a three-letter word called job. But I take whatever they pay me. It's not enough for me to live on. That's true. Okay? So what I do now is I take my tithing. And I need to tithe before I ever get here. I give it before the Lord. I thank you that, Father God, you, before I was ever programmed, before I ever discovered South Texas, I thank you, Father God, that you programmed my talents and my abilities in me. And I thank you, Lord, that you opened up this door for me, and I have money to give, and I give it, joyfully and cheerfully. I don't do it begrudgingly. I thank you, Father God, that you supply. And you come to church, and somebody you don't know, I mean, all of a sudden, you're walking down the aisle, and somebody shakes hands with you, and there's a $100 bill. Well, we're going to have groceries. Well, we're not going to start rest this week. Am I telling you the truth? But you can't operate here. You can't, this old saying, all the preacher wants my money, you get rid of it. If you stay there, you're never going to be blessed. There is a law of life in Christ Jesus. That law of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death. And so if you got off on anything, make that adjustment tonight and get right back. See, here's what we do. This is the law of life, and this is sin and death. And we start walking with God, and all of a sudden we get our eyes open. Somebody says something, and we get down here. And we're trying to walk like this, and we're trying to walk this. No, either get one way or the other. You'll be blessed if you walk by the things of God. This is not a fairy tale. This is the Word of God, life unto those that find it, and help. It changes. It can change any circumstance. It can change anyone. And it's not American gospel. It's not a white man's gospel. It's for whosoever will. It'll work in any language. It'll work with any culture. It's the Word of God. But if you don't put the power source to it, get it out of your mouth. You can't even get saved without you saying something with your mouth. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. If you'll learn when bad thoughts come, or thoughts of defeat. Now, I'm going to tell you this. This is very hard to do, but you've got to practice doing it. When thoughts come, and the more you practice it, the easier it becomes to you. You're not going to make it, not going to make it, not going to make it, not going to make it. Stop right there and say, Father, I thank you. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, according to Corinthians. Let's see what weapons I have. Well, let's see. First of all, I have God's love. God so loved the world, okay? That's good. Secondly, God loved the world that he gave his son. The blood shed at Calvary is to redeem me from the curse and put me in right standing with God the Father. And I thank you for the precious blood. It's never lost its power. We don't hear much about the blood in American church. But what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the
blood.
Thank God I don't have to make some sacrifice of some animal or some kind of pigeon or turtle dove. Thank God the precious blood of the Lamb of God took it away at all. Hallelujah. And that give me access and right into the throne of grace. So I have the love of God. I have the blood of Jesus. I have the authority to use that name. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I have that authority. I'm in him. He's in me. I have a right to use that name in the name of Jesus. Sometimes I've been so just my emotions was just messed up so bad. I couldn't do nothing but say Jesus. Now, I'm open with you tonight. I mean, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't get a free ride because I'm a preacher. In fact, if anything, preachers have more because if he can knock a preacher out, he can knock a lot of people out. I've been tears streaming down my face and I said, oh, Jesus. And finally get it out of my mouth. But you know what? I'm standing here tonight. God's been good to me. God's good to me. I have no complaints. Thank God he's delivered me. Thank God he's helped me. Thank God God has people.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes, you know, another weapon is the Word of God. How about the ministering spirits? How about the gifts of the Spirit? You come into service and all of a sudden God says somebody and somebody says something to you. This is what the Word of the Lord for you tonight. Somebody walks up to you and said, I've been praying for you and God gave me the scripture for you. It may not be a word of prophecy, but it's just a scripture given to you. Get the circumstances hooked up to the thing that can change it. That's not going to change it. Just change it if it's hooked up. Not going to change anything until it's hooked up to the power source. And when you hook it up to the power source, guess what? It changes it. What love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be. He talk about, you know, it doesn't make matter if you're male or female. What love the Father has bestowed on us, we should be called the Son of God. Did you know you're the apple of God's eye? And when somebody picks on you, they pick on God and company.
Absolutely.
You keep your attitude right. You keep your heart right. Let God take care of that. That's God's business. And he knows how to take care of it better than you do. Don't practice hate, bitterness, envy, or strife. If somebody's blessed, oh, thank God they're blessed. Hallelujah. I say this very quickly. January 13. I'd gone down to South Texas about 180 miles south of my house to hunt. Some people play golf to get, you know, that's what they like to do. I play golf. My mind's on 15 things I need to do, and I can't play golf. I get out there, man, go out there, and it's cold, and put that coat on, and you set up in that blind. And I don't wonder, what am I doing here? But then I start seeing the birds fly, and I see everything going on, and it just relaxes me. And I don't shoot stuff to be shooting stuff, okay? I get my deer meat. I eat a lot of deer meat. I make sausage, okay? If you don't like that, quit eating beef. Quit eating chicken. Okay, I just do my own. I'm sitting out there. I just got there. The guy that works with me called and said, hey, there's a guy that wants to give a gift to the church. And he wants don't want to give it to nobody but you. I said, oh, Mike. I said, please. I just got here, man. See if I can't do this Thursday morning. This is like on a Monday morning. Man, you know, anytime people want to give something to church and they want to give it to pastor, we got to go get it. They could change their mind. Right? I don't know about but me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I said, Mike, call him back, see if I can't meet him on Thursday. I'll come back in. I'll be at the Wednesday night service, and I'll meet him Thursday morning. So he made an appointment. This guy comes in. Man, he's not wearing no $199 suit. I mean, it's pressed. It looks good, you know. He comes in. He walks down the hallway toward the office. I go out and meet him. And I'm looking for him to pull out a checkbook. See, I'm looking for a gift for the church. That's the way I understood what was going to happen. He's going to give a gift to the church. Okay? That don't mean when they give a gift to church, that don't necessarily mean pastor's going to get it. That means church. Right. Two things, different. Now, sometimes you may want to run it through the church, but you need to put Pastor Joy. Good preaching. So I sat down with him, and I tell him, you know, wants to know a little bit about church. I tell him, he said, you like Lexus cars? And I said, well, sure, I like Lexus cars. I said, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I had one, and it's paid for, and I borrowed money on it to try to finish a church project, to build a church. And the guy out of the church carried a Bible, A1 crook. And he beat me out of everything. And so I borrowed the money to try to finish this church building. I couldn't finish it. I made a note on it. Every 90 days, I'd pay on the note. And I did that. I was faithful. I've got good credit. I know that a lot of preachers don't have good credit, but I have good credit. I don't like to use credit. I don't like to buy things on credit, okay? But I have good credit. And so I paid that maybe a year. I paid it more down on the car than what the car was worth. And this banker just got a burr under his saddle. He didn't like me anyway. And he said, I want to pay this note off, or I want the car. I said, well, I can't pay you. I can pay you. I'll pay you each when it's due. I'll pay it. And eventually I get it paid off, and I'll pay it off before the car goes to zero. In other words, the car will still be worth more than what I owe on it. Understand? I said, no, I want the car. I said, well, you tell me when you want it. I'll bring it to you. He called it in. I took it to him. Now, it's a material thing. Okay? I did right. I did everything. In other words, I did everything I know to do. And the guy that was working with me, he had just still in church blind, left and right, just everything. And so, this is years later now. This is January 13th. This guy reaches down in his pocket and he says, here's the keys to your Lexus. And I said, what? He said, here's your keys to your Lexus. Said, somebody paid for your Lexus. Said, I can never tell you who it was. I'm never going to tell you who it was. Don't ask any questions. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. I paid for it. Here's your car. Wow. Now let me tell you two other miracles. The color was right, number one. That's good, isn't it? Number two, the guy that delivered was spirit-filled. Of all the people in the dealership that could have made that deal, that guy that delivered it to me was spirit-filled. Now, let me tell you something. Don't you, and then Mike got, don't let him hear the tape, please. Mike kind of got envious. I said, Mike, but you don't know what I paid for that blessing to come. You don't know how many cars I've given away. You don't know how much I've sown over the years to people that needed something, and I helped them. I said, you be faithful to God, your day will come. When somebody's blessed, you rejoice. Amen. My closing remarks, I hope, pray that we have a miracle. I said my closing remarks, pray that we have a miracle. If you begrudge people, if you're jealous and envy of other people, this is what you're operating by. All it's going to tell you is what's around you. It's not going to change anything. But when you let the Word of God dwell in you richly, but no matter what happens, you just lift your voice. I thought, oh my God, Pastor Bob Nichols called everybody down here tonight and asked to lift our hands. We're not making an altar call for anything particular. All we're making an altar call for is being grateful and thankful for what we do have. As far as I know, nobody's going to go hungry tonight in this building. As far as I know, everybody's got some place to stay. Right? Are you with me? We ought to be grateful and thankful. You're better off than 90% of people of the whole world. Well, I don't have this. I don't have that. Thank God for what you do have. Well, we got a little apartment. Thank God you got an apartment. Start doing what God said. Get out of being controlled by the circumstances in the carnal mind. I have the mind of Christ. And inside that small, still voice speaks. It speaks. And I do have to say one other thing. I'm trying to close. I really am. If you don't pay attention to that voice, it gets smaller and smaller. And it's a small, still voice, and it comes in like a dove. It'll just flutter for just a few seconds, and then it goes away.
Right. Yes.
Just flutters for a few minutes. Now, on the other hand, when you go to do something wrong, the Spirit of God will convict you. And this is what it'll do to you. Don't do that. Hold on. Don't do that. And you keep on toward that direction and you do it. The next time it says, don't do that. And you keep doing it pretty soon. Don't do that. Pretty soon. Don't do that. Don't do that. And then all of a sudden it's gone. And your conscience has been seared with a hot iron. What used to be wrong to you now becomes right to you because you don't hear that voice anymore. Listen, God speaks to His people. Learn to be obedient. No matter if you got it on the table, on the stove, and God tells you to stop right now and go call Sister So-and-so. Pray for her. You need to pray. You need to stop. What's more important? You're going to be 30 minutes late for supper, eating? You know, maybe what some of us... Let's talk for myself. Maybe I could miss a meal or two, okay? Are you listening to me? You've got to learn that the Word of God is final authority. Turn up with the power. Listen to the small, still voice. And when He speaks, He'll give you directions. You know, somebody comes up and says, oh, this is the last one we got. If you don't buy this one today, bless God, it's over with. Get out of here. You want me to go spend my hard-earned money and I'm going to buy something, pay $1,000 for it, and 3 months later it's going to be in the garage. You know, my Lexus can't go in the garage because I got $2,500 worth of junk that I'm still paying on. Have I helped anybody tonight? Listen. There's nothing is the last of it. God may have something better for you. God may have something newer. God may have something that rides better. God may have something that's better looking. God may have something that somebody just gives you. You don't have any payments on it. That's the kind I like. Right? But you've got to learn how to turn on the thermometer. You have to learn how to be a giver. You have to learn how to be thankful. And you have to learn how to forgive. Now, I just laid a little foundation. You go home the next day or two. You get in this Word. You find the promises of God over your finances, over your health, over your family, over everything. You find the promises of God. Get you 2 or 3 scriptures. Put it on the refrigerator. That's probably where you visit the most. Talk for myself. Okay. Me. All right. Put it on the dash of your car. Put it on the mirror when you put your face on. Make your face up. When you shave your face. Thank God there's only one of Him. And read it. Read it. Say it out loud with your mouth. Say this with me. Glory to God. My God,
my God
supplies all my needs. Healing. Victory. Joy. Peace. In the Holy Ghost. According to His riches in glory. I come behind in nothing. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. God's good to me. I'm God's favorite child. He loves me. His love for me is unconditional. I take the word of God. I change circumstances. I speak on the word of God, by the word of God. And when the word of God is applied, the blood is applied. The authority of the word. The authority in the name of Jesus. And things change. Now, we're fixing to enter. And I, help me get out of here. I mean, I'm trying to stop. Listen, we're entering in Texas.
Hallelujah.
It gets hot. It gets hot. It's nothing for us to go 20, 25 days over 100 degrees, 102, 3, 4, 5 in San Antonio. And if you've been gone 3 or 4 days, you'll probably turn your air conditioner up to, you know, electricity is kind of high, and you may want to be a little conservative on that. Or on the other hand, you can believe God to pay the bill. I mean, well, you've got to believe God to pay the bill anyway, but okay. When you walk into your house and if it's too hot, do you know what? You turn this on, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you don't faint. God bless you, Pastor Bob. Thank you for letting me come. Thank you for your time.